Good morning, gentlemen. Next case on the Court of Appeals calendar this morning is Musa versus Western Agricultural Insurance Company. We're ready for arguments. I don't know if either of you has appeared before this court in a Zoom platform before. You'll notice up in the left-hand corner of the screen, there is a timing mechanism. The rules for oral argument are the same. Each side will have 15 minutes for argument. Appellant will have an additional 5 minutes of rebuttal time. At this point, I would ask counsel for appellant to introduce himself for the record and begin argument.
My name is William Wettering. I represent Aldine Musa, and may it please the court. Am I being heard all right there?
Loud and clear.
All right, thank you. We're here on appeal from a district court decision in this case following a motion to dismiss a Minnesota action based upon a South Dakota decision concerning insurance coverage question. And I think this is a unique situation, and I think it calls for a unique outcome from the court. And the reason I say that is the defendant insurance company in this case, the respondent, is asking for full faith and credit for a South Dakota decision on a coverage issue decided under
Eliminate
South Dakota
law. Eliminate the 3-day per week cap for JAAs to work on site at the MJC, allowing judges to determine in-person work
accident.
Schedules for their chambers.
Now, it's pretty well accepted that Minnesota laws apply to accidents in Minnesota, and I believe including this type of matter. And I think the distinction when reading all of the briefs on the matter and the decisions of the court, the distinction of this case versus a normal application of the full faith and credit circumstance is that the procedural history of the prior action in Minnesota having occurred.
Hold on. Counsel, I want to interrupt you. Are the judges having difficulty hearing, or is it just on my end? All right. We can no longer hear you.
Okay. Just a moment.
You're back.
All right. Yeah, I had something popped up here too, telling me something was wrong. If you could just signal me with your hand or something, then I'd know right away if I'm losing you. So my situation, I believe, is different in this case, and I think that this is much more akin to the Whamley versus NODAC than anything else. And I think that that's what should apply here. And the reason I say that is because we had brought an action against the insured in Minnesota for the accident happening in Minnesota. And the driver and the plaintiff were both South Dakota residents, and the insurance had been purchased in South Dakota. Now,
so, Mr. May, just talking about the Whamley case, and I recognize that's a Montana case and all, but does the logic of that really apply here? Because when I look at the proceedings, the Minnesota proceeding, it wasn't an active case. It's not like you had two lawsuits in two different states that were kind of both moving forward. I went back and looked at like the letters, and there were a couple of letters just from here's what's going on in South Dakota to let the Minnesota judge know. So I just see that logic as being different. Could you help me with that?
Yeah, I so much, Judge, wish that that was different, and I have to confront it. I want to take you back further, though. We had already seen the carrier had already denied coverage. They didn't seek a DEC action, a declaratory judgment, while that underlying case was pending. They allowed that to go forward, And it wasn't until after that matter was resolved and judgment was entered against their insured that they sought this action in South Dakota. And perhaps it's my own ignorance, but we had brought the action in Minnesota also to collect under the Miller-Shugart situation, and we were proceeding in that fashion when this deck action happened. And my reading of it is, I don't think if you really look at the bottom line in Wamley versus Nodak, it's a matter of a North Dakota court applying North Dakota law on a case that's already pending in Montana. And I think that is the same as we have here. The normal full faith and credit problem that...
If I can ask, just to make sure I understand. So did your client ask in the South Dakota deck proceeding to have Minnesota law applied? I mean, I'm just trying to understand, what didn't your client have that full and fair opportunity to litigate in the South Dakota court?
Well, that's just it. The South Dakota court applied the South Dakota law on the issue of the insurance coverage. And it was, you know, there wasn't a motion brought or something like that to apply Minnesota law to the case. The topic did come up during trial and arguments about Minnesota having a reasonable expectation doctrine and that sort of thing, but it never ripened into a full-fledged discussion on that topic. But what I'm getting at here is that in Wamley versus Nodak, the Supreme Court of the state of Montana, and I believe the Supreme Court of the state of, or the court of courts in Minnesota should do likewise, to say, look, we are going to disregard this result based upon where the accident happened and based upon that interference with our Minnesota action. What I was saying before was, when you typically have a challenge to full faith and credit, or full faith and credit comes into play, somebody has a judgment they don't like from another state, and then the other party starts another action in another state. And so collateral estoppel, res judicata, and the full faith and credit apply. Here, we had already sued the insured. We had obtained judgment against the insured, and we had started an action in Minnesota to collect on that when this other action started in South Dakota. And in Wamley, that action was also started in Montana, and the court there is saying, look, this is interfering with Montana law. The accident happened here. We're going to apply that. And so my view of it is that we're much more in line with and akin to the Wamley versus North Dakota than we are with some case where somebody brings an action after it's already been determined somewhere else. We had brought our action.
So, Mr. Lettering, in the Wamsley case, the Montana Supreme Court says that one of the reasons that it rejected full faith and credit there was that it determined that the insurer in that case had obtained an adverse decision, adverse to the plaintiffs in that case, adverse decision on the declaratory judgment coverage issue, quote, through the back door, I think is the language. And they specifically criticized the insurer for the way in which they had conducted that litigation. And I don't see that in your briefing here, that you're criticizing.
Yeah. I can't pretend to know. I never get finished learning, it appears, and maybe too late, but I don't. It seems to me that I don't know what the thought process was on the part of the carrier here. You know, you might be able to guess what I think about it now, but At the time, I wasn't thinking that that this was a forum shopping. And now I certainly have a different opinion about that. But needless to say, that's the status of the matter. And I haven't brought it up in that fashion. I guess I do believe that one can read between the lines here. Again, we had all of this case. We had the case completed, the underlying case in Minnesota. We had the collection proceeding started in Minnesota before this matter ever came to the docket over there. And that's my situation on it. And I do believe that I don't think that the overriding factor for the Supreme Court in Wamley, I mean, they mention it, and I think they do it to buttress their position on it. But the legal conclusion they made, I mean, they didn't say it was fraud or anything like that. The legal conclusion that they made was that it was that decision over there in North Dakota was interfering with the administration of the statutes in Montana where the accident happened. And that they saw it differently, and that the state of Montana had to be able to control that. Now we have all of the situations of Wamsley in this case, regardless of how the court interprets the circumstance surrounding the deck action in South Dakota. We have the same situation. We have litigation ongoing here, and that this litigation here in Minnesota should be allowed to continue. And that's just the way I see it as far as the Wamsley application to the case. I don't think the fact that they found, I think in that case, that they held off the plaintiff in the case while they were preparing their declaratory judgment action and things of that nature. I'm not, all I am saying to the court is the difference between this and any other full faith and credit challenge is that we were already litigating it. We already had a case pending. So I look at it and say, okay, if Wamsley had the case been pending in Montana and the North Dakota case got concluded, would have that changed Wamsley and the court going forward with its look at that conflict of laws question and the issue in Montana? And I think the answer is no. They would have been able to go forward. They would not have enforced full faith and credit on that North Dakota decision because the timing of it wouldn't have made any difference. The case was already initiated. If we had initiated the case after the South Dakota case was concluded, then I think that, you know, my argument there in logic fails. But we had already had the underlying case determined with a judgment. They didn't participate in that at all. Everyone, you know, I take full credit for having...
Mr. Wettering, you're saying that you had initiated the collection action based on the Miller-Shugart settlement in Minnesota, but you had not initiated a Minnesota declaratory judgment action, correct?
Correct. But
yeah. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Yeah. Right. And we had initiated the action against the insured and to conclusion. So... The defendant's carrier who denied coverage slept on that the whole time. It allowed it to go forward. And so I think, in essence, there's a pox on both of our houses, I guess, just because of the way that went down. Naturally, you can assume I might have done things differently. But I still believe that the full faith and credit of that case in South Dakota should not be allowed, and it should proceed on the case that we had already filed and have the court determine it a Minnesota case on Minnesota law. And I think there's plenty of reasons to do that, and I think there's authority for it. And I realize that it's a unique, this is my probably the reason that I'm in the position I'm in and challenging this is because I see it as so different than any other case that I've read on this full faith and credit situation. There's no other case out there other than Wamsley that I have found that is like that. And that, to me, I'm sorry.
Counsel, your time has expired, and I think you're at a good break point, so I'll interrupt you there. You'll have an additional 5 minutes of time for rebuttal argument. Now the court would like to hear from counsel for respondent. Sir, would you introduce yourself for the record and present your argument?
Certainly. May it please the court. My name is Mark O'Leary. I represent Western Ag Insurance Company. I office in Sioux Falls, but am licensed in Minnesota as well. Waiver, waiver, waiver is the word that comes to mind as my colleague makes his arguments this morning. Mr. Musa could have moved in response to the commencement of a DEC action here in Minnehaha County. Mr. Musa could have moved for dismissal of that action using the arguments that Mr. Wettering is using today. There was no such motion. They appeared in the DEC action in South Dakota. They answered. Mr. Wettering and I litigated that case for over 2 years, as I recall. We had a bench trial with Judge Hoffman. And Judge Hoffman's judgment was that there was no coverage. Mr. Musa then exercised his right of appeal and appealed to the South Dakota Supreme Court, which unanimously affirmed. The only issue for this court, in my view, is to satisfy this court that the South Dakota courts had personal and subject matter jurisdiction. If they did, then the South Dakota judgment deserves full faith and credit in Minnesota. The Blum Law Firm versus Pierce case is cited in our materials, and I won't repeat any of that, but we rely on that case for the proposition that this court simply has to satisfy itself on jurisdiction. And if there was, then the judgment deserves full faith and credit. And the Nobles District Court got it completely correct when in that decision, she wrote that Musa agreed to or at least waived any challenge to having the coverage issue litigated in South Dakota. Because Musa, and I'm quoting, failed to timely object to the South Dakota proceedings, full faith and credit should be given to the South Dakota declaratory judgment. And my colleague mentioned res judicata and collateral estoppel, and the Nobles County District Court judge mentioned that as well. And she found that all of the elements existed. The factual disputes that were litigated in South Dakota would have been the same factual disputes to be litigated in a declaratory judgment action in Minnesota. So those elements were fully litigated. Secondly, the South Dakota litigation clearly had the same parties and the same attorneys. And as I've noted, rather than object to and move to dismiss the South Dakota action, Mr. Musa voluntarily and fully engaged in that lawsuit. And that's in part different from Wamsley, upon which Mr. Musa's relying so heavily. There, the parties disputed the jurisdiction. And that's what ultimately was decided. In South Dakota, there was no dispute. Frankly, nor could there have been. It was a South Dakota insurance policy, a South Dakota contract between a South Dakota licensed insurer and a South Dakota resident, Mr. Azeen. Every single passenger in that vehicle were residents of South Dakota, including Mr. Musa. So I'll be brief this morning. We do believe firmly that Mr. Musa had every opportunity to either bring this deck action back to Minnesota, which he chose not to do, and then voluntarily and fully litigated it, and that the judgment of South Dakota should be affirmed under full faith and credit. That's the end of my remarks. I'll take questions, of course.
Any questions from the panel? No. All right. Thank you, sir. We're ready for rebuttal argument. Mr. Wetterly? Counsel, you're muted. Thank you. Mr. Wettering? Oh, thank
you. Thank you, Judge. Good morning, Mr. O'Leary. May it please the court. Again, I think this has been litigated it just as in the case in Nodak and Wamsley. That case clearly had alternative determinations made by North Dakota court and a Montana court, and the court saw fit to see what was going on underlying the situation there. And I think the same is true here, that the accident in Minnesota, the handling of the matter insofar as the case being done in Minnesota without the involvement of the insured, and the case pending during that time in Minnesota is different than a normal full faith and credit case. And I think that it's not the classic situation. And we had a judgment against the insured, and we are due to be able to pursue that in Minnesota as we had filed in that situation. I can't take issue with any of the facts, and I don't think the counsel takes issue with my rendition of the facts. This case here, whether you want to call it active or not, it was an ongoing case, and this is a Minnesota case, and that's where it should be decided under Minnesota law. We have other issues just in addition to liability, but for the statutory requirement of having no fault coverage in Minnesota on all vehicles and things of that nature. And so it's not just strictly a liability case. And that's our position on the matter. And I thank the court for its time.
Thank you to the attorneys for your briefing and argument this morning. The matter is submitted. You'll have a decision within 90 days.